Oh, Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you, Lord, for this awesome church, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for the family, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you are constantly improving us. I thank you, Lord, for how Sister Renee just bared her soul and her heart on the altar today, just to be that example, to let people know that it's okay. It's okay to ask for forgiveness. It's okay to start new. So we just thank you, Lord, that we would take that spirit of love, we would take that spirit of sharing, that spirit of being receptive to your word and the Holy Spirit. And we just thank you, Lord, that you would just continue to bless this service, bless this fellowship, and use me as your vessel the way that you want to use me, so that people can take from what they need to take, Lord, to go further in you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right. I already said good morning. Today, my sermon is about self-love. And I am really going to be dependent on my notes, because I thought it was the coolest thing. God has blessed me to travel in my career, and I'm thankful for that. And now he's even allowed me to travel internationally. So I've been missing in action, or in and out, for a few months now. And in this journey that I didn't even know that I was even going on a journey for my own self, just to understand just the natural beauty of the earth and everything that God has just allowed me to see. And I just, when I was in Nairobi, Kenya, and I got a message from Shishi. And she had the list of schedules for September. And I knew I was coming back like that week of. And then that week of, I had a whole lot of things, obligations that I needed to take care of. But it was something that when I received that message, that I was like, okay, God, you're gonna have to tell me what it is you want me to speak on. And he was like, just speak from your experience. And so today I just wanna share that it is very, very, very important for what I have learned, self-love, self-care. And a lot of the times, it's very difficult for Christians to feel like you should take time for yourself. You should, because it's like a servant mentality that we have, which is great. I'm not saying us, or, you know, I'm not trying to put words in people's mouth, but, or in minds, but it's a feeling of, am I being selfish? And what God showed me is that when we focus on ourself and we take that time to rejuvenate, we take that time to be re-energized, we're not doing it like what the world say as being that self-love, self-care. We're not saying, oh, and I love going to the spa, by the way, I love facials, but we're not saying like, go to the spa, leave me alone. You know, we're not isolating ourselves. We're just taking time so that we can be stronger. One thing that I must talk about my experiences. I've been on 30-hour flights for like the last 2 months. And when you're on these flights, it's kind of like they're saying that, it can be short flights too, but they're saying that you have to, if anything happens, you know, you take the air breather, the oxygen, yes, mask, and you take care of yourself first. Because if you're trying to save someone else, or you're trying to save a child, it's not going to help them if you're not there and you're not strong enough, if you're not taking care of yourself first, so that then you can focus on then being strong and ready to help them. So again, self-care, we are in the age of social media. You know, it's a lot of trendy topics, self-care, you know, and I'm not judge, there's no judgment, but what I'm speaking on is just, as Christians, we have to be that oxygen mask. We have to be ready and be strong at all times, and the way that we can do that is by making sure that we are taking care of self. And so what I want to do today is just kind of scan through and say some of the kind of like 10 things that might be a good thing to do, and then also back it up with some scripture. Okay. So I guess just go ahead and get started. If I could have everyone turn to John 15, chapter 1. And the first tip for every Christian to practice would be to rest. It's very important that we are able to get rest. We are in a very busy society. Life is just, it's funny how life is so busy, because I remember growing up that there and then that phone stretch with my grandfather's house. At my grandparents' house, the phone could stretch for some reason from the kitchen to like all the rooms, even into the bathroom. And these days, we have like the abundance of technology. And it just seems like you would think that it would be a convenient situation. You wouldn't feel so busy. You wouldn't feel so stressed. But it's like, I don't know. It's just the more technology, the more that we have, it seems like life is just even busier. So that's why it's so important to rest. And just to kind of read, let me see, John, let me turn to myself. Okay. So this is Jesus, the true vine. And this is Jesus speaking, like saying that you need rest. So I am the true grapevine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit, and he prunes the branches that do bear fruit, so they will produce even more. You have already been pruned and purified by the message I have given you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it's severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. So it's just very important that it goes back, like, just in this, and everything's going to kind of build up in these tips, and they're going to kind of overlap and come back to each other. But it's very, very important to find rest. It's very, very important to understand that all the different obstacles that happens in your life, they're happening for a reason. So allow yourself to just embrace the challenges that you're going through, but allow yourself to know that you are connected to Jesus, the incarnation, you know, the vine that will continue to cultivate us, that will, you know, continue to grow us and leverage us. So it's just very, very important to just stay connected and to be at peace, to be still, and just depend on the vine and rest. Another one is to be okay with failure. You know, be kind to yourself. And that goes back again to what John chapter 15, 1 through 2 was saying. I am the grapevine. My Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit. He prunes the branch that do bear fruit so they will produce more. There will be times in your life where some producing of fruit may be cut off. But, and it might even be a little scary, it might be even a little painful, but it's not a loss, because we're always connected to the vine. And pruning helps to shape us into the people we are and who we are going to continue to grow and be. So it's really good to be okay with failure, because it's an oxymoron. You're really not failing. You know, it's just a mentality. It's a peace. It's a rest. It's a be still. It's a knowing that everything is working out for my good. And everything, as long as I'm connected to the vine, there's nothing that anyone can say. There's nothing that anyone can influence me to make me feel anything different than who I am and that true identity of who I am in Christ. And I thought it was so, I go back, I call her Miss Renee, but I'm going to reference Sister Renee, Miss Renee. But I really did like the humbleness, the trueness. Like, you know, I want to share with you all what God has been talking to me, and I receive it. And so let me help you. Let me help you too, because there might be something going on with you. There might be going something on in your mind. Don't hurt yourself by just being stuck. And I want to go to Luke 5:16. The next one is to withdraw. Sometimes you just might have to withdraw, and there is nothing wrong with that. And withdraw can mean just like taking a weekend, go off, like go away, leave, like just, and it doesn't even have to go away. Just go to the park, you know, take a half an hour, sit in your comfy chair. My mother loves her recliner. And I love FaceTiming my mom. She hates it. My mother hates when I FaceTime. I'm like, why do you hate FaceTiming me? Because every time I FaceTime her, she is in that recliner. And then sometimes, every time I FaceTime her, she'll be like, I'm not picking up. She would call me on the phone, like, I'm not picking up, because she doesn't want me to see. But, Ma, you got a little pass today. I understand what you're doing. I understand that you're resting. So God showed me that too. I'm not going to pick on you too much, on you being in your little recliner. I was going to, like, one night when she was asleep, I was going to go in her house, move that bad boy out, and install another seat in there. She probably would have taken my key back. Okay, so Luke 5:16. Love parents that give you keys to their house. Okay. So Luke 5:16. Then those who had seen what happened told the others. Actually, I'm sorry. I'm in the wrong one. There we go. Okay, but Jesus often withdrew to the wilderness for prayer. And I'm going to go back a little bit. But despite Jesus' instructions, the report of his power spread even faster, and vast crowds came to him, preach, and to be healed of their diseases. But Jesus often withdrew to the wilderness. Goes back to the phone cord. He used to stretch out of the kitchen, go around every room, and then even could come back to the kitchen. And it's like in our busy lives, everyone has a busy life, whether you're retired, whether you're working, whether you're not working, everyone has obligations, priorities that they do for themselves or they do for others. Because if you're not doing anything, if you got a lot of time, that might be an issue. You might want to check that out. You know, if you got a lot of time, because like it's a blessing that we're able to help each other. We're able to be there for each other. We're able to be there for ourselves. It's very, very important to be there for yourself as well, because it's coming up, but I'm jumping ahead. But it's like, how can I love my neighbor if I don't know how to love myself? If I don't know how to treat myself good, how can I treat you good? Now, and there's a lot of disguises in the world. There's a lot of people that are making it seem like, you know, using quotes like, Deepak Chopra or different things. And no judgment, again, because I love different philosophers and different quotes and people that give good advice. But at the same time, it's when a person is using that and they're making that to be kind of like their guiding light of their life, and they're really not really loving themselves. It's just like mouth movement. So going to Luke, oh, I already read it. Okay, but Jesus often withdrew to wilderness to prayer. So again, Jesus was busy. Jesus had people constantly loving him, needing him, pulling on him, just wanting to be blessed. Not bad for those people, because why wouldn't you? You know, you have a person that's light, have a person that you can admire. You have a person that is giving, a person that is saying, hey, come to me. I will help you. But he had to also leave sometimes. So we are made in His image. So if no one should ever make you feel bad for needing to take a break. The next one would be to sit at Jesus' feet. I really always love the story of Mary and Martha. Going to Luke chapter 10, verse 42. There is only one thing worth being concerned about. Mary has discovered it, and it will not be taken away from her. And just to give context of what was going on in the situation for those that may not know about this story, Mary and Martha was sisters, and Jesus was at both at their home. And Mary was like kneeling down and listening to Jesus, like teach. So it's like having someone come in your house that has so much wisdom. And Mary took advantage of saying, this person is a good person to talk to and listen to. Martha was in the kitchen, same way. She's feeling like, I need to do something. I have this great person here. I need to cook. I need to do something for him. And so when Mary was getting all of this lesson and all of this information, Martha kind of protests, like, why isn't she working? And that's what that scripture is saying. It's saying that, you know, Mary knew that this was an opportunity of a lifetime. So I needed to make myself available to hear and to receive. So that's too what we have to do. Sometimes when we're so, not saying that we're looking, and Martha in this situation was not looking, in my opinion, looking to please Jesus. She was honoring Jesus, and she was showing her admiration for being there. But it also comes to a time that you need to also take a step back, and you need to say, He's not asking for this right now. He's wanting you to come at His feet. He's wanting you to come and listen to Him. Amen. So get out of your own way. Get out of your own way in thinking that I need to do what I need to do, and you're missing out on this ultimate blessing that God is trying to show you. Amen. Just from tradition, just from, you know, just being that good person. And I love when people say that it's not about being a good person. I know everyone has opinion on that. I think it is good to be a good person. I do. I love good people. And I love when people say they're good people and they walk in that light of being a good person. And I think Martha was a good person. But she needed to stop being that good person for a minute and be a good, better person to herself and listen to this blessing that God had. So the fifth point would be to study. It's very important to study. And we can go to Matthew chapter 22. I think that I wrote that up. Okay. Matthew 22, verse 37. So I kind of talked about how self-care and self-love is all about pampering, all about resting. But as Christians, we're also called to allow our minds to expand. We're also called to study and have that time to hear God's voice in our life. I think Nehemiah is a good example of just being able to understand the mission and the vision that Moses had in mind, and then being able to just recognize how important it was for him to continue to hone in on what he knew and what he was going to learn, but he needed to have that time to be able to study so that he could continue to call on God's promises for his life. So I'm not going to really read Nehemiah, but I do recommend that you check out Nehemiah, verse chapter 2, verse 20, Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 9, and Nehemiah chapter 1, verses 8 through 9. So Nehemiah is that read is a really, really good study. And it's just allow you to be able to internalize and understand how to navigate our lives and how to apply these great examples, these great people, these great experiences in the Bible. Point number 6 would be, it's a given, and we all do it, pray. Definitely, that is a part of self-love. I think that's pretty self-explanatory. Just pray. 7 would be to sleep. And what I like, but at the same time, it doesn't mean like sleep, like like a laziness sleep. It's saying that take care of yourself, like plan your day out, you know, plan your time. Like if you're able to get 5 hours of sleep, you're able to get 7 hours of sleep, you're able to get 4 hours of sleep, just make sure you commit your time to that sleep. Goes back, rest is more like being still, not allowing challenges and obstacles of this world to come in and take your peace. But sleep is saying literally for your physical body, you cannot fall asleep on the couch. You can't, it's kind of like when we were young children, and I love all the children here, but, and I'm sure the children can attest to this, in that little area right there, or right in the back. I don't think we got no more. But we had to go to sleep. And we weren't ready to go to sleep. It's like 8 o'clock at night. The good show's about to come on. We got to go to sleep. They used to play cartoons at night. And even at school, when I always felt like it should be the reverse. Like, why are you putting young people to sleep? You should be putting the grown people to sleep. We should have like a siesta. Jan, like, yes. We should have a time. But it's kind of like, but now I understand. I mean, of course, I understand for a long time. But I understand why they was teaching us those core, basic fundamentals so that we could take it on throughout our life. Because you can't teach an old dog tricks. So you couldn't teach us, like, at 40, how to go to sleep, how to rest. But you can teach children. And that's what Jesus did. He taught children. So we have to continue to allow ourselves, even though we are grown, we need to allow ourselves to put ourselves to bed. Put ourselves to bed. Go to bed. And that should be exciting, too. You should be like, okay, all right, bedtime. You know, got it. I don't want to pack up, but I got to pack up. It's 10 o'clock. It's time to go to bed. And not go to bed and let the TV watch you. Go to bed. Go to bed. So you deserve it. What I liked about sleep was, I don't think I wrote down the scripture. What scripture do I didn't, okay. Well, I'm going to find the scripture. I'm sure Gwen knows it. But I like the scripture when there was like this furious like storm at the sea. And Jesus just went to sleep. You know.
I found this on the web.
Okay, thank you. So Jesus just went to sleep. Even through all the storms and the, like, and I don't know if anyone's ever been on a cruise. I know it's been a few years since we've been on cruises. But, you know, the like seasickness, just the bumpiness of the waves and things like that. It is hard to go to sleep on a boat. And then to go on to sleep on a little boat. But Jesus did it. He went to sleep. He was like, you know what? There's nothing I can do about this. Go to sleep. If you had a busy day, you had a good day. You had a fun day. You had a crazy day. You had a day with someone, you know, at your job. You was like, why did I even have to deal with this today? You have to just go to sleep, so that you can wake up and start fresh and just be able to receive what God is trying to talk to you and understand while you're resting, while you're sleeping. The next one is exercise. Exercise is no fun, but it's very, very important. Our bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit. So we gotta keep a body strong. And it doesn't mean, and it does mean, it doesn't mean like you gotta be in the gym 5 times a day and 2 times within that day. But if you are able to be in the gym that much, that's amazing. I mean, that's ultimately a good situation because you're getting your body in that routine of exercising. But exercising can come from just, again, planning your schedule. We have technologies now. We have calendars on our phone. We can make it fun for yourself. Like, we can make it fun. Like, say I'm just going to walk for 15 minutes when I wake up. I'm going to walk again right after lunch. And I'm going to walk again at the end of the day. I used to love when Mother Scott used to say, you don't have nobody to tell you when to use the bathroom, you know. So let's not let anyone have to tell us that we got to exercise. That should be something that's just natural and automatic that we should want to do for ourselves. So again, Corinthians chapter 16, 19 tells us that, just paraphrasing, that our bodies are the temples of the Holy Spirit. 9, have girls' night out, have boys' night out, have couples' night out, have everything night out, like have trips. Just go out. Go out, have dinner. Enjoy company, enjoy fellowship. What we're doing right now is a night out. It's a day out. You know, we are waking up to come here, look pretty, you know, listen to each other, talk to each other, embrace each other, hug each other, fellowship with each other, happy to see each other. Like, just get out. Like, don't be in solitude, you know. I mean, not saying that there are times for that, but get out and do that. And the reason why it's so important, because like in Mark chapter 12, verse 31, or maybe it's Matthew. Oh, it's Mark. Okay. Yep. Paraphrasing again, tell us to love our neighbors as ourselves. So again, we have to be able to like our neighbors. We have to be able to be engaged with our neighbors. We have to be able to get to know our neighbors, get to know these people that have been caught, we've been put across each other's path. Yeah. And then lastly would be love yourself. Love yourself. All of this goes back to self-love. It goes to just loving yourself as God has instructed us and commanded us, love. Yeah. We're beautiful. We're children of God. And we just need to embrace and love that truth. And then what I want to show about self-love, I want to show some pictures. I went on a safari in Nairobi, Kenya. And I was a little worried at first to go on the safari because I don't even like going to zoos. And I was like, the first time I've ever went to a zoo in my adult life, I go to Africa to experience. That's like the ultimate. That's God giving you the desires of your heart. Like, if you're gonna do it right, do it. And what I liked about this safari is that, or what I liked about Africa, because I had never been to Africa before, and what I liked about Africa is that everyone, it was a very natural, basicness to Africa. Even the respect and just the respect of animals. You know, you hear about people getting kind of clobbered and attacked by animals, but when you're in Africa and the natives, it's like these animals are celebrities. They even got animals, like when you're driving down from the airport, they got like signs like just a lion. It's not advertising anything. It's just like the lion's just like this, you know? And it's just a reverence, it's just a respect. And what I liked about the safari is that it literally is a road. Just, they built a road in the jungle. So it's not anybody like, stopping the animals from coming over to you. It's even people with sedans. Like, they just drove their car and say, you know, I'm gonna get off of work and I'm gonna just go drive in the safari. So there was literally like people just in their regular car just saying, you know what, I wanna go see the tiger today. And what I saw about being in the safari is that even in its nature, it was a pattern. It was a consistency. The giraffes, you could always look and see the giraffes by a tree, a tall tree. You could always see the lions by water. You know, you could see like the rhinos just kind of alone, you know, and you could see like the monkeys playing with each other. And it was just an amazing like experience because it was just nature in its like in its purity, in its purest form. And then also the people, it was very natural, just the same way here. We're just family, we're loving, we're happy to see each other, we're excited to see each other. And it was just a very reverence and a respect and that I really appreciated about going to Africa. And so I just wanted to share that with you. I was even shocked, like, this guy is not an American at all. Like, I mean, they have accents, they speak different. He spoke like five languages, like French, Swahili, because they were colonized by the British. And I saw him with this black, like, we was just talking, and they didn't even let me go because I was kind of, it was a market, and I was purchasing stuff. But it's like a market full of vendors. And this was probably like the vendor that was in the middle of the market. By that time, two tables, your money is gone, you know, because they're like trying to make that money. And when I came over to this family, they had like maybe like seven tables. And I came and they were just talking to me and they came over to me and I said, I don't have any more shillings. I don't want to waste your time. And they were like, no, we just want to talk. And what I thought was so cool was we were just talking, and I saw his shirt, and I was like, Black Lives Matter in Africa? Like, and then when they were and then when we were talking, he was like, yeah, so how's Biden over there? I'm like, I have no idea what's going on in your country. I mean, and thankfully God had me, it was very blessed because they was actually ushering in a new president when I was over there. So that was very powerful and very beautiful. And then I had just left London like the week before. And so the Queen had passed away, and that was a really influence as well because that was one of the countries so that was civilized in Africa from the British monarchy. So it was just an amazing feeling that it's just home away from home. And so I just wanted to share those pictures with you and share my experience. But I thank God for using me. I hope you were able to get something from this. And I just want to just close out in prayer. Oh, Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your blessings, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for just to continue to lead, guide, and direct our path. I thank you, Lord, that your Holy Spirit will just continue to lead, guide, and direct, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for the love, Lord, for anyone that might be going through anything or struggling, that they will just give it to you, Lord. They will trust you, Lord, that they will allow themselves to be open to forgive themselves and as well as forgive others. And we just thank you, Lord, that they will not be restricted. They will not, they will have the peace that passeth all understanding. And we thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing, Lord, in the lives of this church, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for continuing to bless. We thank you, Lord, to continue to move. And we just honor you, and we praise you, and we glorify your holy name. Amen. Amen.